This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Another key figure in the Larry Nassar sexual abuse story has been charged. Lansing area coach John Gettert faces 24 charges in Michigan for what prosecutors describe as his role enabling Larry Nassar's abuse of hundreds of gymnasts. Gettert was for many years the owner of Twistars, a gym where athletes trained and where Larry Nassar regularly saw and abused victims. Here's Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel.
The facts will be established in court, of course, but it is alleged that John Gettert used force, fraud, and coercion against the young athletes that came to him for gymnastics training for a financial benefit to him. The victims suffer from disordered eating, including bulimia and anorexia, suicide attempts and self-harm, excessive physical conditioning, repeatedly being forced to perform even when injured, extreme emotional abuse, and physical abuse, including sexual assault. Many of these victims still carry these scars from his behavior to this day.
Nessel's office also dropped some big news about the investigation into Michigan State University, but let's just take a moment and review these charges that she listed against John Gettert.
He is accused of the following: 14 counts of human trafficking, forced labor causing injury, a 15-year felony, 6 counts of human trafficking of a minor for forced labor, a 20-year felony, 1 count of continuing criminal enterprise, a 20-year felony, 1 count of first-degree criminal sexual conduct, a life offense felony, 1 count of second-degree criminal sexual conduct, a 15-year felony, and 1 count of lying to a police officer during a violent crime investigation, a 4-year felony.
Nessel says that John Gettert has turned himself in to authorities in Eaton County. With us today is Dan Murphy, staff writer at ESPN. He's also the co-author of Start by Believing, a book about how the governing body, USA Olympics, covered up what Larry Nassar is doing. Dan, welcome to Stateside.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For those not immersed in the competitive gymnastics world, who is John Gettert?
John Gettert is one of the most prominent national-level Olympic gymnastics coach of the 21st century. He coached the 2012 gold medal-winning team in London, known as the Fierce Five, and his star kind of rose with Jordan Weber, who is a superstar gymnast from the state of Michigan. He had a gym that he owned here just outside of Lansing in Diamonddale for 20 or so years, and during that time rose to prominence on really a global scale, and did so alongside Larry Nassar, who was treated gymnast at his gym for almost all of that time.
What was the working relationship like between Gettert's gym, Twistars, and Larry Nassar?
Larry Nassar and John Gettert worked very closely together for most of their careers. Larry Nassar started working at a gym that John Gettert was leading back in the 1980s before he was even a doctor. And after speaking to dozens of gymnasts, what we learned was that Gettert had a very demanding, demeaning coaching style, at times physically and emotionally abusing some of the gymnasts, according to their accounts. And Nassar preyed on that. He was the good cop to Gettert's bad cop for a long time. And during Nassar's sentencing hearings, and what we heard from gymnasts was that Nassar was able to develop trust with all these women because they were scared of John Gettert and because he was a friendly face in the gym for most of their time together.
Do we know anything about why John Gettert was never charged at the time that Larry Nassar and some others were in court?
So the complaints about John Gettert had previously been investigated a couple times by police for smaller scale assault issues, confrontations that he had at the gym. But a lot of the complaints about Gettert really surfaced during Nassar's sentencing hearing in 2018, when gymnast after gymnast stood up in the courtroom and described sort of the treatment they received from Gettert. So that sparked an investigation from Eaton County officials, and eventually the Attorney General's office took that over. And most of the charges that Gettert is facing today are related to his own behavior, things that he did over the course of his gymnastics career to gymnasts, including sexually assaulting one of them, allegedly. But only one of the charges is related to what the Attorney General says was a lie that he told to police about what he knew what Nassar was doing to sexually assault victims in his gym over the course of the past 25 years.
Right. Dan, I wanted to ask you about the fact that there are 20 charges of two different kinds of human trafficking. I think that took some people aback. What strikes you about that?
Yeah, Nestle acknowledged that that was all a pretty unusual charge to be used in this case. And I think, you know, while she couldn't get into details about exactly what they're going to lay out for their argument in court, they say that Getter used force, fraud, and coercion to physically and emotionally harm the gymnasts who were paying him to train, to be trained. Because of that, they're able to charge him with human trafficking and forced labor. And that was sort of their way to be able to hold him accountable all these years later for the physical and emotional abuse that he put on the many gymnasts who came through his gym in the Lansing area.
It feels like a different approach than we've seen taken in any aspect of the Nassar case so far. So it'd be interesting to see what prosecutors lay out and what the courts make of it. Have you heard any reaction from victims so far today?
Yeah, we've spoken to a couple women who have come forward in the past and wanted Getter to be held accountable. You know, one who was a former Michigan State gymnast who also competed for Getter and trained with Getter at his gym told us that it was a spark of light for her to feel that people were being held accountable. And this is something we've heard in the past as other people who have, been called enablers of Larry Nassar have been charged with crimes. It's happened a few times at Michigan State and now a couple times with folks involved in USA Gymnastics. And generally the response has been that these survivors feel again like they're being heard and that people are taking them seriously, and that the people that ignored their cries for help and aided and abetted Larry Nassar for decades are finally being held accountable for it.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Dan Murphy of ESPN. He co-authored a book about the governing body of USA Olympics and the Larry Nassar scandal. Dan, I feel like there was word coming out earlier today about these charges against John Getter, but I feel like maybe the real news is Nestle's statement that her office is getting stonewalled by Michigan State University for documents around the Larry Nassar investigation. Larry Nassar, of course, was a faculty member there for many years. Nestle said that unless the MSU board changes course and turns over 6,000 pages of documents, that this investigation is going to close. Was that a surprise for people who've been covering this case?
No, I don't think it was terribly surprising, just because they've been asking for this for so long, and so far the Board of Trustees at Michigan State have not budged. So there's about 6,000 documents that those trustees are protected by attorney-client privilege. The same Board of Trustees asked the Attorney General to conduct an investigation to figure out what went wrong and why Nassar was able to get away with sexually abusing people for so long. Dana Nestle and others who have held her position before her have said that they need these documents to really finish their thorough investigation. But MSU isn't under any legal obligation to provide them unless they want to have that level of transparency. So this was sort of what Nestle termed as her final ask, her last plea for Michigan State's trustees to give them sort of the full look at all of the documents that they've gathered around Larry Nassar to try to decide if anybody else can be held accountable, right? We're up to five now with John Getter's recent charges, five other people related to the Larry Nassar case that have been criminally charged with something. So far, Getter's, while he's not directly related to Michigan State, are definitely the most substantial charges.
The origins of that investigation, as you note, came from MSU asking for it. Is the MSU board stance in line with what you've seen out of Michigan State throughout the course of this public phase of Larry Nassar's trials?
Yeah, I think they've been pretty consistent in their wanting to protect those documents and wanting to control a little bit of the investigation that they've asked for to that degree. I think that Michigan State has made some changes. Certainly they've gone through leadership changes and they've tried to make some public statements to reconcile for some of the things that went wrong there that allowed Nassar to slip between the cracks for so long. But I think many of the survivors and other people around the university believe that the only way to truly move forward and feel like they can fully learn from what happened here is 100% transparency. And thus far, the university hasn't been willing to do that.
Yeah, it sounds like the Nassar survivors were not hanging a lot of hopes on a full reversal from the MSU board. But again, as Nestle said, there are some new board members. Could you hazard a prediction about whether or not any major change is coming?
You know, I don't know for sure, and I wouldn't want to guess, but so far there hasn't been any indication from anybody at Michigan State that they have a reason to change their stance. I know some of the trustees have said that they themselves reviewed the documents and didn't see anything pertinent in them. Obviously, that was not sufficient for Attorney General Nestle to say that was enough. But so far, there hasn't been any indication from anybody at the university that they're going to change the stance that they've held now for more than a year on the matter.
Nestle said that she wanted to let witnesses tell their story at trial rather than spilling all the details about the charges today. Has your reporting shown you anything about where this story might be headed?
Well, I think we found lots of examples over the years of the way John Gettert both treated his gymnasts and also some of the sexual nature of comments that he made around the gym or inappropriate comments that he made for a lot of teenage gymnasts. So we don't know exactly what these charges will be related to, but in our reporting, we came across stories of Gettert, physically harming gymnasts by throwing clipboards at them or stepping on their legs as they're stretching or smacking them hard enough that handprints showed up on their legs or parts of their body. And, also things that caused long-term sort of mental health problems, as Dana Nestle mentioned, disorders of eating, things that, obviously a big problem in gymnastics for a long time has been weight shaming. And from what we've learned, John Gettert was certainly a part of people who constantly asked gymnasts to lose more and more weight and made comments about their weight. So I would expect that a lot of those things that we've heard over the past few years will show up again in this reporting as things that have caused long-term harm. And this, Nestle put it, some irreparable scars to some of these gymnasts that they're trying to hold him accountable for at this point.
Yeah. It appeared in the Attorney General's announcement that there was some confusion about whether some of the charges have to do with Gettert's training methods or with his connection directly to Nassar. I'm not sure if that's because there were a couple of different teams working on this, but would that make sense to you that they would focus more on his methods and his direct conduct rather than his connection to Nassar?
Yeah, I think there's some important nuance to point out there, right? While this investigation into Gettert started as a result of Nassar's crimes and Nassar's sentencing hearing, much of what they discovered and much of what they were pursuing were crimes sort of independent of that Gettert allegedly committed. There was, as I mentioned, one thing related to the Nassar case, and that they say that he lied to police back in 2016 when, there are people that have come forward and said that John Gettert knew about the way that Nassar was sexually abusing women in the gym. And then he heard about this at different events as they were traveling together, sort of as Olympic coaches and doctors. But most of the charges today and most of the investigation that the Attorney General's office has conducted were related directly just to Gettert's behavior, not in any way to sort of shepherding abuse victims to Nassar or anything like that. The sexual assault charge that he's facing is related to actions that he did, not Larry Nassar. And I think that's important to clear up.
You and your colleague, John Barr, wrote extensively about what the top brass at USA Gymnastics, the sport's governing body, what they knew about abuse within the sport and their role in concealing it. Do you feel like things have significantly changed?
There's been a lot of change in leadership. There has been attempts to try to give athletes a bigger voice on some to some degree. However, just as we talked about with Michigan State, a lot of what we hear from survivors and other people that are victims advocates here is that the only way to really move forward is with 100% transparency. And so far, that hasn't happened at the national level either. There's still some ongoing civil court cases right now that are tied up in bankruptcy court with USA Gymnastics and the US Olympic Committee. So while there have been some certain nominal changes, I don't think the people that are pushing hardest for that change right now are satisfied yet with how things have shaped up with USA Gymnastics, including some of their really high profile, world famous gymnasts like Simone Biles, who are going to be most likely competing for the US Olympic team this summer, while also still suing the group that they're competing on behalf of.
It's crazy. The man who was at the helm of USA Gymnastics at the time when the Larry Nassar scandal erupted was a man named Steve Penny. And a lot of your reporting had to do with his efforts and documents that you were able to procure to show what he knew and when he knew it. What became of him?
So Steve Penny is one of the five folks who is facing criminal charges. There are three related to Michigan State, Steve Penny, and now John Gettert, who have been charged with in some way related to the Larry Nassar case. And those charges in Texas are still pending. Penny was charged with tampering with evidence for allegedly trying to hide, you know, suitcases full of documents that may have been incriminating when Texas Rangers first showed up to a ranch down there where the national team used to train in order to try to learn more about Larry Nassar. But he's basically what we learned is that Penny, for a long time, his alleged complicity in all of this was that his focus was always on marketing and trying to make the most money and win the most medals as possible for USA Gymnastics. And that motivation led him to be blind to a lot of the warning signs for both abusive coaching from people like John Gettert, and then obviously the sexually abusive behavior from Larry Nassar. That while there were a lot of claims and warning signs that came up in the years before Nassar was eventually stopped, they didn't prompt the kind of response that one would expect from somebody leading an organization that's in charge of a lot of young women and men.
Obviously, things can happen in the courts, but Penny's a free man as of now, isn't he?
That's correct.
And John Gettert, as we heard, is in police custody for the moment. He no longer owns his gym, does he?
Yeah, that's right. He owned TwistRs, but back in 2018, as he was facing a lot of criticism at Nassar's sentencing hearing, he decided to retire. Shortly thereafter, he transferred ownership to the gym to his wife, Catherine Gettert, who, by the way, is not facing any type of legal investigation at this point. But just recently, really, within the past month, Catherine Gettert sold the gym to new ownership in Lansing, and it's under a new name. So interesting timing there for them to get rid of that asset.
I wonder how much this story, the story of John Gettert as an abusive coach, independent of Larry Nassar, if this has any potential to fundamentally change the practices in the coaching world in gymnastics. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's a good question. And I think, you know, shining a light on it can never hurt the problem. However, this has been a well-known issue in the gymnastics world, dating back to the early 80s when the sort of father and mother, so to speak, of USA's rise to prominence in gymnastics, Bella and Marta Caroli brought over their sort of Eastern Bloc style of very tough, demeaning, bordering on abusive behavior as a coaching style. And many more coaches have sort of fallen in line. And there have been a lot of complaints across the gymnastics world of coaches who pushed that too far. And there's been some movement to try to create better and healthier coaching practices, but this has been a long-held culture in the USA Gymnastics world that still needs a lot of work to fully improve and be safe.
My guest today has been Dan Murphy. He's a staff writer with ESPN and co-author of the book Start by Believing. Dan, thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate you having me on.